cliffcentral.com.
All right, rise and shine. Come on. Time to mess around today. It is Friday morning. It's the 11th of September, September the 11th. You gotta get yourself out of bed. You gotta make yourself a success. Come on. Don't just lie around all day.
Are you sure we can't?
No, you can't. You can do that tomorrow. You can do that on Sunday, but this is why you have to work today. Work, slave, work. Grind those wheels of the economy. God alone knows. You've got to also support the, I think it's 20 people per each of us who has a job. There are 20 people out there who need you to have your job because your tax money is paying for them to live. Think about that.
I don't understand.
Sorry, what's that, Leanne?
20 of us.
So there are 20 people in South Africa, roughly. It's between 16 and 20 the last time I checked, and it's going up all the time. People who don't have work, who rely on the state, and therefore rely on taxpayers. So if you are working and you're being taxed, you're paying for people you didn't make and you didn't know.
How does that sit with you, Leah?
Yeah, it's like a rock in my stomach.
Because, of course, that's what we all love, is being, you know, having parasites attached to our assholes. Because that's what it feels like. Now, I'm not one of those people who's, you know, going to go, I'm not looking for votes, so I don't have to bullshit anybody. I don't have to say, oh, yes, it's beautiful that you've made 23 children. And I don't have to say, because I'm not looking for your vote, I don't have to say, you know, blessed are the meek, or, you know, God help the poor people because they're so sweet and lovely. Like, a lot of poor people are in that situation because it's not their fault. But there are also a lot of poor people who are in that situation because it's their fault. I mean, if you've been on drugs since you were like 10.
Oh, yeah, that doesn't help much.
Yeah, and you're poor, then I don't see why I should be paying for you, or Leanne, or Sia, or anyone else, you know? And if you've never got up and got outside and actually worked and your parents have paid for everything, that's as bad as being poor.
Yeah, it makes me think of the dole system.
It is like the dole system. That's exactly what it is. And these systems have been put in place all over the world in order to – the initial idea is a pure one. It's a good one. It's like, well, don't let anyone slip through the cracks, because whoever's the lowest in society, that is what you will be measured by. So you don't want people to be starving and desperate. But again, compared to the long story of human history, most of these, in inverted commas, poor people that we're talking about now in the 21st century are incomparably rich compared to 3 or 4 generations ago, when in order to be poor, you needed to have absolute starvation as your menu for every day. Like, in other words, you'd wake up in the morning hungry, and if you could scratch together some dust and, you know, old bones during the day, then you'd go to sleep less hungry, but you'd wake up the next morning hungry again.
Scratchlings.
Yeah, nobody in this country really knows that sort of absolute, abject starvation hunger. There are very few people. You remember when we were growing up, Leanne, you remember those National Geographic photographs of those kids with like Kwashiorkor disease in East Africa, where they, you know, the vultures are like hanging around the kid just waiting for it to die because it was so emaciated. And luckily, that is mostly in the past for humanity. I mean, we could always go back there because, you know, how stupid we are. But really and truly, like, that's the scary thing, is that that's not an out of the question possibility, but we're much better off. So I don't see why we should be paying for people to have DSTV or, you know, to get government food parcels or any of that stuff. Because if you're able-bodied and you're able to do something useful for someone else, even if it's just carry something from point A to point B, you should be out there working, and we should get this economy going. I mean, what a thing to start talking about first thing on a Friday, but there we go. You know, in other words, get up out of bed, because if you don't, the whole economy will collapse. No pressure.
Okay,
that's a lot of responsibility.
That is the way I believe in. I believe in negative reinforcement. I don't believe in positive reinforcement.
I'm just picturing one of our listeners.
Yeah.
I'm picturing one of our listeners who probably was just still listening to us while in bed. And you know those blurry couple of seconds where you're struggling to open your eyes? I think now they're sitting up.
Yeah.
Or just eyes wide open.
Yeah. So now, my negative reinforcements worked, huh?
Get up, you lazy fucks.
I don't know if that was all good and necessary, but...
Yeah. Someone has a compliment here for Gabriel from the Burning Platform yesterday, Gabriel Krauser, who works with the Institute of Race Relations. Please have the gentleman, he looks like Jesus, by the way, he's got a huge big beard. Paddy says, please have the gentleman from the Race Relations Institute on the Burning Platform more often. He doesn't just have a sound opinion, but brings great content to the show. He's brilliant. Wow, okay. Nice to hear. Ooh. Thank you, Paddy. And we will do what we can do.
Yeah, if you didn't listen to the Burning Platform, or you don't just want to listen to it, rather, there's also a full video up on our YouTube channel. The full enchilada.
Did you watch our show this week, Leanne Moll, on TV?
No, I didn't. What happened?
We had an amazing panel, and this coming week we're going to have an even better one. I'm not going to tell you too much until we know for sure. Ask Sia, like, you have guests, and then they drop out on the day.
Oh, man.
Poor Sia. You know,
most stressful job ever.
The past couple of weeks of just making my memoir even more interesting.
Yeah. So Sia has to, he has to hound the guests and make sure that they're there on time, and some of them don't know how to use Skype, and it's phenomenal how many people.
Oy vey. What?
Oh, Leanne, you have no idea. Like, some people do not know. I mean, they're smart people. We're talking lawyers, doctors, professors. They don't know how to use Skype.
But listen, I have to say that Skype is a very unuser-friendly platform.
I don't think so. I've been using Skype longer than all the others. I mean, Skype was there before Zoom. It was there before Microsoft Teams. It was there before Google Hangouts.
There's a familiarity with Skype. Even if you haven't used it ever, at least you know of the concept. Oh, yeah, I'll Skype you. And I don't think that's just a broad assumption that I'm making.
You know what's so weird is I've just remembered. I met the guy who was the first investor in Skype, a guy called Bill Draper, when I was in Silicon Valley 3-4 years ago. I met him, and he signed my little box, this is a Skype box that I keep cables and things in. And Bill Draper, listen to this. Bill Draper took a whole pile of money and put it into Skype before anyone knew what Skype was. Because it was some Scandinavian guy who came up with the idea. And Bill Draper put in some serious money. Anyway, he made a fortune, as you can imagine. And
so he didn't have anything to do with the development of Skype or anything like that.
No, he was an investor.
He was just an investor.
But he made a killing. So he's a, I think he's a dollar billionaire, I'm not sure. But the most chilled.
Just from Skype.
Yeah, the most chilled guy. I mean, he's just so, he's like a, you know, like a friendly old grandpa. And I sat and talked to him for like 20 minutes, and what a cool dude, Bill Draper. Mm. So I was just thinking about him now when you brought up Skype, and it really was there before the others. You know, it was the first, it was the first way, and it was so clever because it meant we didn't have to pay these dumb networks in order to talk to people. I mean, that was revolutionary at the time. It's now owned by Microsoft.
Let me just let you know, there's a guest I'm chatting to right now.
Mm.
Well, a member of the guest team, a future guest.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the, this guest does not even trust Skype. So not even doesn't have it, is just part of the generation, of one of these apps. Oh, I can't download this. You know, they'll get information on me. Genuinely, I am persuading a guest.
Listen,
to download Skype.
Now, we had the world's number one conspiracy theorist, David Icke. This guy believes that the aliens and reptiles are coming to get him there. You know, he used Skype. He came onto our show. So if he can do it, anyone can.
Here's just a part of the email. It says, person has asked me to see if this can be arranged via the phone. They are certain they did it on a mobile phone, so if this can be done, that would be great. Or we could just leave it until they come back.
Right.
Mm. I had to list the merits of Skype, how safe it is, where you can download it from.
You've basically become a salesperson for Skype.
Ah, damn it. Yeah, I think we need a commission or something.
Wow.
So when C is busy setting these shows up, and why you shouldn't have missed it, Leanne, is we had a friend, and an old friend of yours on there, Professor David Block.
Oh, remember him.
Looking Up. Do you remember he used to do a show? I still can't believe it. Feels like ages ago that we used to have 12 hours of shows a day on Cliff Central.
Wow.
That place is like a train station.
Yeah. there were like animals coming
you
in.
You had an animal show, and there were cheetahs the one day, and there were reptiles the next day.
Baby owls.
And then Tumi Morake would come in and laugh her head off, and she'd be hanging around until 12 having tea with everybody. And then there'd be
people having orgasms.
Yeah, there'd be Jonty fingering chicks in the studio. There'd be Trevor Gumby heading out. We had such a star cast, you know, just great people hanging out every week. Casper de Vries would come in with his weird shirts, and there'd be pole dancers.
And his dogs.
His dogs would be part of the retinue. Brent Lindekew would be running around. There'd be people.
Business shows.
I mean, you know, you'd turn around. Now, just after seeing Jonty fingering the girl, you'd turn around and you'd see former President Kgalema Motlanthe sitting in the same chair. And you'd think, fucking madness, man.
Kgalema Motlanthe.
No, that really, there are a few things in the world that make me super proud. And obviously the audience that we have is the very best thing about CliffCentral.com, because the audience, if you think the shows were weird, like, we garnered the most awesome audience of people, and most of them are still around, if not, you know, more. So that's cool. That makes me genuinely proud. That's the best thing I could ever have done, for sure.
Oh, man.
Makes me so happy. Yeah, it's so cool. And when I think about it, I just start laughing. I'm like, what kind of...
It was so bizarre.
It wasn't a business plan so much as it was just a circus.
But it's amazing. It's amazing how many people wanted to be part of it.
Oh.
And, like, there was a tiny chihuahua that was lost at OR Tambo on the runways for about 4 days.
Yeah.
And if you wanted to speak to him, he would come. If you wanted his owner to bring him, they would come. People were just like, yeah, I'll be there.
It's amazing. It's absolutely amazing.
It's crazy. That's what it is as well.
Well, here we are. It's now September the 11th. And let's hope, because this has been a hell of a year, let's hope that September the 11th is a nice quiet day, huh?
Yeah, 20.
Oh, people are so unhappy about this year. I really think it's going to, when we look back, it's going to have this big black mark on it. And everyone's going to be like, that fucking year.
And then, you know, if you look back thousands of years, it'll be a tiny little pen mark. No one will care.
I hope so.
Yeah, well, I don't think the embarrassment of how the world has handled this thing is going to go away anytime soon, because people need to be held accountable. And you know, there are still a huge number of people who are suffering, even though many of us are lucky enough to get back to work and get back to normal.
What are you thinking about the latest with Trump, where it's now been revealed in an interview, a recorded interview with an author who's written a book about all of this? And he revealed, he said, and it's recorded, in February or March, this coronavirus thing is huge. It's five times bigger than flu. You are very likely to die from it. It's spread through the air. I'm not sure what we're going to do, but I don't want people to panic, so I'm going to play it down.
That would be the sensible way to go. I don't have a problem with that. And in the end, that was the right attitude. In fact, he was the one who said, I think it was probably just after that, you know, at the moment, you've got to take everything that comes out now with a huge pinch of salt. In fact, a spade full of Himalayan pink salt.
Huge.
Because everyone at the moment who says anything about Joe Biden or Donald Trump is busy basically working for or against them for the elections. So take it all with a pinch of salt. But if that's supposedly controversial, to me, that is exactly the right take. Because what did he say at that stage? What did he publicly say? He said, it's just a little bit more than the flu. And remember, remember he said this is basically the flu. And people went fucking ballistic. They were like, oh, you, how could you say it's just the flu? It's much worse. There are going to be so many deaths. And he said, stay calm. So actually, mm-hmm. that is what leadership is. And don't give me like, oh, you're just pro-Trump. Uh-uh. The fact is, all those people who were screaming and shouting, listen, Nancy Pelosi was going into downtown San Francisco to Chinatown and saying, come here, everything's fine. Do you remember? She's going, everything's fine. You're all talking about China, like China's so bad. And here I am in Chinatown. Come down here. Go to the restaurant. So now suddenly she's like Mrs. Gloves and face masks and shit yourself, you know. She's such a hypocrite, that woman. Went to have a haircut. Now the whole of California shut down. That includes San Francisco, where she lives. What does she do? She makes an appointment to go for a haircut, an illegal haircut, according to her own rules that she and Congress have promulgated and that her dumb friend Gavin Newsom, who's the governor of California, has been putting in place. She goes to have a 900-year-old haircut, and she stumbles around the salon with her clackers falling out of her mouth because she's got the worst dentures. Like every time, whenever he talks, it sounds like she's got fucking, they must just tighten those things up because it's really not good. I mean, she's got tons of money. Her husband is a very rich man. Not to mention her. She's made a lot of money, and she's been a public servant her whole life. So she should get better clackers. Anyway, she's wandering around this hairdressing salon, getting her hair done, which is illegal. You can do it outside, apparently, but you can't do it inside. So she's being treated specially. You know, I make the rules. I don't have to follow them, kind of thing. Mm. And then the owner of the salon, who's been struggling to stay in business because she's had her business closed for months, and then when she could do it, she could do like one person at a time outside the salon. She thinks, fuck this, I'm gonna show people this film of her. So she puts it out on the internet, and everyone's like, oh my God, Nancy Pelosi had her hair cut. What about the social distancing and the masks? And she's not wearing a mask. She's not doing any of that stuff. So she's a complete hypocrite. And Donald Trump, who said months ago, this is no worse than the flu. Turns out, even though he's not a doctor, he's pretty much on the money. So let them come with all these theories, because they're going to be some that favor Biden and they're going to be some that favor Trump. But let's see who wins. And I mean, the polls.
Literally who wins.
Yeah, the polls are always wrong. We know that. There's this polling. This might interest you a little bit if you're into those things. And I promise we're not going to talk too much.
Is it the poll with Leanne Moll?
The poll with Leanne Moll. Do you remember the poll with Leanne Moll?
Of course I do.
This is quite interesting. Uh-huh. Let me just find it for you. Trafalgar polling in the U.S. They don't look as slick as the big mainstream pollsters, but their record is really good. They try to explicitly measure the un-PC effect. In other words, if people asked in South Africa, if you asked the average white person, are you going to vote DA? They probably are, but they're going to say no, because they don't want to seem like they're going to obviously vote for the DA. If you ask the average ANC person, if you ask the average black person in South Africa, are you going to vote ANC? Even if they're not, they're not going to admit it. And even if they are, they're not going to admit it. I mean, at the moment, you struggle to find an ANC supporter.
Yeah, right? I know. The polls are definitely screwed up.
If I go around to Mbulelo's house, he's going to tell me the truth. But if I go to some, some quiet conservative person who doesn't really like the ANC but doesn't really hate them, and maybe she is going to vote ANC, but she doesn't want to tell me. So they lie to the pollsters. And that happens in America. You ask the average American, will you vote for Trump? And if they are a Trump supporter, they're not going to say yes, because they don't know where that information is going to be used. And there's a lot of massive polarization. So this Trafalgar polling apparently have Trump ahead in numerous swing states and a greatly improved margin since a month or two ago. I think this is because the riots that are going on in, I think it's 48 out of 51 big cities. No, sorry, 50 out of the 51 biggest cities in the U.S. are dealing with the BLM and Antifa riots. And and that means that the people in those cities are like, screw this, you know?
Don't see on why average, we have to put then that's position. Like a big city in each state. Like, mm-hmm. So on average.
pretty much. And I think the Democrats thought this was going to be a good idea, but now it's got out of control. And you've got to remember, like in any country, South Africa is a very conservative country too. Most people just want to live their lives, you know, especially after this lockdown. They're a little bit shell-shocked. All of us are. And you start to appreciate things like family and holding on to what you've got. And conservatism after a pandemic like this is the default setting for most people. And what's the opposite of that is rioting and revolution. So I don't think that message is going to sit so well with people here. That's why the EFF's clicks behavior has got so many people. Oh, Jesus.
Listen.
What was that, Sia?
Excuse me.
What a funny little sneeze.
But he got a fright from his sneeze.
I know. I wasn't even expecting that. I'm sorry.
Anyway. Yeah, let's move on to other things. So, Leanne.
Yes.
Apparently, you had a long-awaited session with your psychologist.
Wow.
Tell me about this.
It's been since April 2018 that I stopped seeing him.
Wow, and you need a shrink.
No, I need one every day. I do. And I stopped because it's R1,000 a pop. And, you know, every week. So it's $4,000 a month. And that's why I stopped. And because of everything that's been happening around us, things just got worse and worse and worse. And I needed to see him. I need to do some huge unraveling.
Yeah. A lot of us do, by the way. So I wasn't being insulting with you, you know.
Right. No offense taken. And my first question to him was, I would love to know, just out of interest, what sort of things you're seeing as a psychologist during COVID from people who have anxiety and depression. And him, knowing me well, said, well, I'm not going to tell you. You tell me what you've been going through and I'll agree or disagree.
Yeah, because they're really good therapists.
Otherwise, you'll plant seeds.
That's right. They know that they can give you a leading question.
Yeah.
So what did he say?
So I started describing what I'd gone through. And at the end of it, he said that is textbook what anxiety and depression sufferers have gone through.
Wow.
So do you remember right in the beginning I said to you I was having these panic attacks mm-hmm. when we first had lockdown? And a lot of it had to do with the deathly silence in the streets.
Right.
Just with everything coming to a stop.
Yeah, it freaked you out.
Completely.
Yeah.
With the sound of silence.
Thanks, yeah, that added so much value.
No problem, this is what I'm here for.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And I think what freaked me out as well was seeing drone footage of cities around the world.
No, I hated that.
Going
as
over
well.
Highways, etc.
That's so shit. They mustn't show me that stuff.
Yeah, where there was just nothing going on. That sort of feeling. And then came the fear of getting the virus and sanitizing everything and not going out and, yeah, just knowing that you were probably going to get it and hearing stories of how people were dying alone. Then it was a blessing for people with anxiety and depression because we generally are cocooners. And we like to be at home and not have the pressure of going out, societal pressures, and things like driving and crime and accidents and those sort of things were completely avoided.
Yeah.
And that was really nice. And for a while, I mean, I said to you guys, I'm enjoying this. Mm-hmm. It's really easy for me. It's like an easy transition. And for a lot of people, it was a case of, but I've been living like this all the time anyway. There's no difference between lockdown and not lockdown.
People with anxiety are those who've been living like this.
Exactly. Okay. And yeah, just taking away the pressures of having to walk into a restaurant and you think everyone's staring at you. Parking your car, just dealing with people and life. And you could just say goodbye to all of that. And it was amazing. It was a gift. And for, you know, with someone with anxiety, you just want the world to stop for a while. And that's exactly what it did. And it was fabulous.
Now, sorry to cut you off. My interest then is, what does someone professional say about how you reintegrate into society after such a long time?
Well, that's the next phase. So
I could be a therapist.
No, you basically are.
Oh, I know.
I'll send you a check. Although checks are now not used
outdated,
anymore.
Outdated, I know.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So the final phase is where we are now, and that's realizing that eventually we're going to have to go out again.
Yeah.
And return to normal, and the anxiety attached to that is just phenomenal.
Well, it's funny you say that, because I have no anxiety about that stuff, but then I know I'm not the normal kind of person. I know I'm a bit of a freak show, so I can't wait. I mean, I told you I went out for dinner on Wednesday night, and mm-hmm. I loved the fact that things were starting to get normal again. I can't wait for this curfew to be over. I'm not afraid at all. I'm the opposite of what Leanne's describing in some ways, but I do understand why people feel that way. I totally get it.
So what's interesting about what's happened here with me in particular, I've always had an underlying agoraphobia.
Really?
Which is just fear of leaving the home. But it was so subtle that I've never even thought of calling it that. And it would be small little signs, like if we were going to go on an overseas trip, my brother has to push me to pack. Have you packed? Have you done this? Have you done that? And I would delay and avoid doing that. And that was all just through anxiety. But because of what we've gone through now, my agoraphobia has come to the fore, and it's
prominent.
It's even overtaken. In fact, he said the diagnosis is there's a difference between just agoraphobia and agoraphobia with panic disorder.
Oh, boy.
Basically, you're a total fuck up.
Yeah. And coupled with that, it's weird. My arachnophobia has also stopped me from going outside. I actually feel really scared to open a door.
Oh, come on.
I promise you.
Really?
This is why I was asking about how you reintegrate into society, because I think a lot of people, not of their own doing, but being alone or being all up in their head and, you know, then thoughts.
Can we carry on with this in a second? I want to get some headlines in quickly for those people who need to know what's happening in the world. So let's just look at some headlines, if you guys don't mind for a second.
This is what is happening in the world, damn it.
Yeah, exactly. Well, the bail hearing of three police officers charged with the murder of Nathaniel Julies. Remember, he's that kid who was shot in El Dorado Park. Yeah, so they've been, the trial's been postponed. Rather, the bail hearing's been postponed. The 16-year-old El Dorado Park teen died after being shot allegedly by a police officer. The community has accused the police of trying to cover up his death. All three face charges of murder, defeating the ends of justice, and being in possession of a prohibited piece of ammunition. That's pretty much the update there. I'm not going to give you too much more, but it's obviously, you know, it's a story that we're going to keep following because it's our sort of police brutality situation, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or use of force by the police, which was unnecessary. Mbulelo says that hay fever is a white thing.
Ugh.
Is it? I mean, I don't know. I'm sure that black people have hay fever, but anyway. And this is another story from ENCA. Against caregiver, there's a case against caregiver Nelly Senwametsi. It's been postponed. Senwametsi is caught on video beating toddlers at a Carltonville nursery school.
Oh, my God.
Families of the children are disappointed after the defense lawyer was said to be in isolation. The case is back on the 16th of September. The school's principal claimed that she was being threatened and blackmailed by a former employee. That's why she didn't report the abuse. I mean, there's no excuse to hit children, especially other people's children. You know, you want to be a shit parent and raise some kind of psychopath. You go ahead and do that. You made the kid, after all, without any permission. So do that. But anyone who beats someone else's children, my God, that's an ugly thing. That is such an ugly thing. And then New York is going to mark the 9/11 anniversary amid COVID-19, despite the mayor of that city, who's a complete douchebag. He's the world's biggest dumpster fire of a mayor. He really is. Bill de Blasio is his name. And they're going to mark the 19th anniversary of the 11th of September terrorist attacks in the middle of the coronavirus pandemic amid a bitter fight with the White House. The city will postpone its annual ceremony. Sorry, it will hold its annual ceremony in memory of the 3,000 people who died in the bloodiest terror attack in U.S. history, punctuated by a minute's silence at the exact moments that the jihadists from Al-Qaeda crashed two hijacked airplanes into the World Trade Center towers. Mm. Instead of reading out the roll call of the dead this year, the families of victims have recorded themselves, but they will still be present at Ground Zero. The site museum will also be open for the first time since the novel coronavirus brought the city to a standstill. Almost two decades after the attacks, September 11 remains synonymous with New York's heroism.
Two decades,
and,
wow.
It's amazing, huh? Yeah, it's pretty, it's just, it's unbelievable. I remember that day, like...
Oh, yeah, that's the thing, is it just, it'll be etched in our memories forever. Well, there we go.
Okay, this is an interesting story. The love child, the love child of former Belgian King Albert II is hoping a court will grant her the same rights and titles as her father's legitimate children. This is a very big deal.
Isn't he the one who kept a South African prisoner?
No, you're thinking of Albert of Monaco, and that's not his wife. It's his wife, Princess Charlene. But well done on that one, Leanne. You did recognize the name, Albert. So, King Albert finally admitted that he was Mrs. Boyle's father back in January of this year, having fought her paternity claim for more than a decade. Her mother is a woman called Baroness Sibylle de Sully Longchamp. She claims that she had an 18-year affair with Albert before he was king. Rumors of an illegitimate child first emerged in 1999 in an unauthorized biography. Ms. Boyle was first alleged on the record that she alleged, first of all, on the record that King Albert was her biological father during a 2005 interview. But it was not until he abdicated, when he lost his immunity to prosecution, that she opened court proceedings.
Is that B-O-Y-L-E?
B-O-E-L. Like Noel, but Boel.
B-O-Y-L-E was my birth surname.
No, you're not King Albert's love child.
you're wanting to claim something now.
Her lawyer said on Thursday she was seeking the same rights as Albert's three other children, Philippe, who is now the King of Belgium, Prince Laurent, and Princess Astrid. Delphine's position isn't that she wants or doesn't want to be a princess. She doesn't want to be a cut-price child. She wants to have exactly the same rights, privileges, and titles and capacities as her brother and her sister. Reports suggest her children would also be eligible for a royal title if the court rules in her favor. Albert's lawyer says she can only be given the title princess by royal decree and not a court. So how's that?
Now they're finding loopholes out of
it. Yeah, it's just bizarre.
I mean, the whole idea of legitimacy, right, is a massive thing in royal families. Because if you're not legitimate, you can't inherit. That's been the rule for 1,000, maybe 2,000 years.
Mm.
And if your parents weren't married, and that's why if you do genealogy, if you study ancestry, it is hugely important to have marriage certificates as well as birth and death certificates. You have birth certificates because the parents are both written into the birth certificate. So the reason I could prove that my grandmother and grandfather were the parents of my father is because they're on his birth certificate. That's the best way to do it. And that's a legal document, which is why you have to present it when you apply for a visa or when you are going for your passport or any of those things. You have to prove you are who you say you are. And it's fine for me to say, oh, my great-grandfather was this person, but I have to be able to prove it. And legitimate descent is actually very important in these things, because the marriage certificate proves that those two people were married when you were born or after you were born, and it was legitimated. And that therefore, if there are any, inheritance is up for grabs, that you are the first in line as a legitimate descendant. It's quite an interesting story.
But then you get a situation like this where he accepts and acknowledges the fact that he is the legitimate father.
Sure.
Oh, it sounds like an episode of Jerry Springer.
Yeah,
it is. But this just proves to you that aristocrats are just as bizarre as the people you see on Jerry Springer.
They also can't keep it in their pants.
No, of course. And listen, if the court does rule in favor of this woman, that could change a lot for European monarchies and the whole idea of titles. And, you know, I mean, for example, in Sweden, the heir apparent is Princess Victoria. It's not the son. And, you know, 50 years ago, there's no doubt that a woman would have been put further down the line than a son. Now it's whoever's born first. So I think, you know, in the case of Prince William's kids, the eldest one is a son, but the next one is a daughter, so she inherits after him if something happens to him. Anyway, it's all very interesting.
I think there's nothing worse than having to go through fighting for a parent to acknowledge you. I think about so many kids who have to go and seek their fathers, or, you know, in most cases their fathers, but hey, it happens, your mother as well. And, you know, your parent not wanting to be in your life. Yeah. That, I think, must be a dagger to your heart, man.
Well, I know that, you know, there are plenty of people who are descended from royal bastards. And they call them bastards. It's not a good word anymore. Mm. People frown at you when you say bastard. It's like, no.
But that was the term.
That was what you called them, yeah. Girls and boys were bastards if they were born out of wedlock.
Mm.
So when you say to someone, you bastard, you have to make sure you know what you're talking
about.
I mean, this woman, Ms. Boyle, she's a bastard.
It just doesn't hold up the same way in 2020.
It's so good. More than 500,000 people in the U.S. state of Oregon are fleeing deadly wildfires that are raging across the Pacific Northwest. This is unbelievable. If you told me that in the year 2020, Oregon State in America would be besieged by wildfires that are making, you know, 500,000 people leave their homes and flee.
Is it the Oregon pine that's burning?
Possibly. And that there were riots in Portland for 3 months and counting. I'd say to you, no way. This is America. It's like the most stable country in the world. What a mess. Anyway, Governor Kate Brown has said the exact number of fatalities is not yet known. There are at least 4 are confirmed. More than 100 wildfires are currently scorching 12 western U.S. states. Oregon, California, and Washington have borne the brunt of the fires, which have in several cases destroyed entire towns.
Wow.
In California alone, at least 10 deaths have been confirmed. Fanned by unusually hot, dry winds, dozens of infernos are sweeping the state, and at least one is being treated as suspected arson. What a mess. What a world. What a story for 2020. Just when you
remember how... Remember how some people used to joke and say, you know, well, let the country just close for renovations. We've even closed the country and still it's a messy place. I don't know what we can do to make the world better.
Jeez, just, yeah, stay safe, stay home. That's what you're going to do.
No, we need a Michael Jackson song. You must band up some people, let them kumbaya over.
He's dead. You do realize he's dead.
This is why the world is screwed up, because Michael isn't here anymore.
Yeah, there's a lot of children breathing a sigh of relief.
Oh, man. Moving on.
So when you went to your shrink, I'm interested in, maybe there's some advice for all of us in what your shrink had to say.
Well, I've had just the one session. Now, it took an hour to tell him everything that's been happening in my life. And I must just say,
did he fall asleep or was he awake the whole time?
He was awake. And I must tell you that he's definitely awake, because you know what my life's like.
Oh, yeah.
But when I explained the external factors, he said to me, Leanne, I must just tell you that it's not usual for all of these things to happen to one person.
So even your therapist agrees with us.
Yes.
It's not usual. That's what he said.
He's basically
saying that you've got the most freakish bad luck in the world.
Oh, Leanne.
He said, you know, of all the things that you told me, maybe one every few months, that's what happens to people, but not all at the same time. So I need you to know that you're not freaking out about nothing.
God, that is unbelievable. Gosh. Huh?
Yeah. I mean, when I started listing the stuff, he was like, oh, are you actually serious?
Yeah, well, I mean, listen, we know you from the show, so we know what kind of stuff is going on in your life. But for most people, it does sound kind of made up. It sounds like nonsense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Anyway, so next week we're doing a proper diagnosis session. So there'll be a whole lot of questions in that.
Yeah, but you haven't helped, like, what's the general advice? Because he explained to you what the levels are that people are going through in terms
the thing
of
is,
coming back to normal.
The thing is, I don't know yet, because we still got to go through the proper diagnosis and then the CBT therapy, which is cognitive behavioral therapy.
Right.
So I'll know more as we go along, and I'll share as we go along.
Yeah.
But it involves a lot of work. I mean, I've got files of papers that I have to read through. And
Is that an analysis on you?
No, it's just...
He's filled 20 files in just the 1 hour he spent with Leon. He's getting a second doctorate.
These are my files, I promise you. But what's nice is the material that you study is actually what you would study if you were going to become a psychologist, which is really good because I enjoy that. I need to know all the facts. I need to know the truth.
I think this is terrific for you, first of all.
Oh, I love it.
Because you also, you know, if you push yourself, finding meaning in your life comes from taking on responsibilities and doing things that get you out of your comfort zone.
Yeah.
So studying something like this would be, for you, a real win. I mean, for anyone, it would be a win, but for you especially, because you're interested in it.
Yeah, I find it incredibly interesting. So, yeah, I'll share as we go along.
All right.
But for now,
yeah,
I'm okay.
I've got an email. As long as you pitch up on Mondays and Fridays and you haven't started cutting yourself, I'm always thrilled.
Don't take it there. Gareth.
No, she knows what I mean. Come on.
Yeah. Mm-mm.
Anyway, Fern sent me this email. Fern says, listening to your show on Wednesday. So us South Africans are just dumb and shit and unemployable and worthless. IQ is flawed and is dependent on so many factors such as nutrition and stimulation as a child. No wonder we as a nation don't score highly. You can't just spew out numbers and say it's all shit without looking at the bigger picture. If you go into any township in Africa, as well as South Africa, you'll find people doing extraordinary things with absolutely fuck all, necessity being the mother of invention. Are all those people dumb because they couldn't score high in an IQ test? Absolutely not. Fern, you're missing the point. First of all, I think you're trying to use the exceptions to market your rule. And your rule is nonsense. You say IQ is flawed, but really what you're proposing here is a theory with absolutely no central tenet. And Fern writes pretty smart emails to me, but we didn't say people are dumb because they have low IQs. I'm just giving you the facts. It's not my opinion. South Africa has a national IQ, which is very low. See, I looked it up. I didn't even look it up. He found it on the internet. You can find it too. It's not hidden information.
77. If I remember correctly.
Average IQ in South Africa is 77, according to a number of surveys that have been done. There are a couple of research papers, one of them by a guy called Lynn. There are a couple of others you can look up. But Fern, you know, don't shoot the messenger here. She's like, are those people dumb? No. And of course there are creative, brilliant people, and they might well have high IQs. How can you assume that they don't just because they grew up in a township? That's where the discrimination lies. So... South Africans are not dumb and shit and unemployable and worthless. That's not what I said. What, are we going to ignore IQ because it's inconvenient? Would you prefer us to turn a blind eye? It sounds like you're coming in with ideology and we have to fit the pattern of your ideology. That's not scientific. If science disproves something and you don't like it, it doesn't mean it's not true. That science is correct, you know? It means you might have to change your mind. So I just want to read the rest of her email so that she doesn't say that I'm ignoring parts of it. These types of conversations are infuriating because it's easy to look at other countries and compare ourselves unfavorably. But there are many factors to take into account. We said that, and I'm pretty sure we mentioned nutrition and stimulation as a child. I'm pretty sure we brought that into it. But you've got to remember, if you have a measurable IQ at a certain age, it doesn't change for the rest of your life. So that's something that is just set once it's set. Strange that so many of our countrymen, says Fern, and women have become so successful in other parts of the world. Yes, of course. And you're talking about Elon Musk and those kinds of people. But if you tested Elon Musk's IQ, I guarantee you it's high. If we're so dumb, we're not dumb. Nobody said we're dumb. We just have a national average IQ, which is low compared to some countries. And trust me, there are some countries that even perform worse than we do.
Mm.
Look around you and you'll see innovation everywhere, albeit maybe not Western in nature. I'm tired of being told how crap we are, but you can be as tired as you want, Fern. It doesn't change the facts. I love the way people say, I'm tired of hearing, or I'm tired of this, or like that changes anything. So thank you, Fern. I appreciate your email, as always. I mean, you've usually got a really interesting point of view. This is also interesting. But I don't think you were listening. I think you think that's my theory. Like, I'm coming out of nowhere. I'm not qualified in studying this stuff. I'm just commenting on what I've read, which other people are qualified in doing.
Yeah.
So, you know, if it's going to be you and me versus each other, I plead the cases of those who have actually studied this stuff. You plead nothing but your opinion.
Including Leanne, because she has files.
Of course, she has files and files. So thanks for
that. You know what all of this reminds me of is I was watching some sitcom and someone mentioned, oh, that child's gifted.
Oh, yes. I remember when people used to be called
gifted. Now, I thought it was a thing of the past, like from growing up at school.
Yeah, they stopped using that terminology a while ago.
Well, it turns out they haven't.
Oh, no.
Oh.
It's still a thing. Now, I firstly want to know, in 2020, calling a child gifted, just doesn't sit well.
No.
Also, gifted implies that they were given a gift by someone. And who's that? God.
Might be.
Why doesn't it sit well with you?
The word feels like if you gifted, it means you've been given something, right?
And in this case, the only person who could have given you that, it implies, is a higher power, like God.
Sorry, and I'm only intrigued because I'm intrigued because I was never called that ever.
They put me into a class in primary school.
Yeah.
Where they just, I think it was. Now, this is going to be controversial, and just for Fern's mental, for her sanity this morning. Fern, this is purely my opinion about what is about to follow. So there are a lot of kids being diagnosed with ADHD these days, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Basically, they can't concentrate. They have a short attention span. Maybe they're undisciplined, or maybe it's chemical. Okay?
Mm.
So far, not my opinion. But here's my opinion, Fern. My opinion is the Brontosaurus is very thin at one end, much, much thicker in the middle, and thin again at the other end. That is my theory. And brackets, miss brackets. No, so Fern, what I want to get to is that ADHD was not a condition that was diagnosed when Leanne and I were at school. And I know I have this because I have such a problem. You can vouch for me, either of you. Sia, Leanne, you've seen me in meetings.
Yes.
After like 5 minutes, I'm busy scouring the room for something to stimulate my mind. I'm drawing pictures. I'm reading. I'm typing something on my laptop.
And let it be noted that the diagnosis is very different in males versus females.
Sure. Absolutely.
And that females are generally only diagnosed in their 20s or later in life.
So I know that if I had had Ritalin or Concerta or some of that when I was at school, I probably would have excelled. Okay, I'm not saying I was clever, but my problem was always focus. So if I loved a subject, this is how I prove it. I loved chemistry, I loved biology, I loved science. And in the last half of matric, I fell in love with maths, and suddenly my marks went up by like 40%. So if I love something and I can focus on it, I do well, but I struggle to focus. So ADHD, what it used to be when I was a kid is they'd say that kid was gifted because I was a problem in class. I wouldn't be concentrating. I'd be making a noise. I'd be asking stupid questions. I'd be distracting other kids.
Belligerent.
Well, yeah, all of those things. And I think that they said, you are gifted in order to make me feel good about myself so I would concentrate on something else. And then they'd give you extra work if you were gifted. Gifted in inverted commas. So they'd just pile me with more work, which I fucking hated because I didn't want more work.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
And then your parents would be called to parents' evening and they'd say, yeah, Gareth has this amazing potential, but he's unfortunately very lazy.
Yeah, any sort of so psychological I think disorder.
There's a relationship between like the ADHD and the whole gifted in inverted commas thing.
Yeah, any sort of psychological disorder they would group into the gifted children.
Correct.
But looking at gifted children SA.co.za.
Oh my God, they've got a website.
There's a thing.
It's all over the world, yeah. But it definitely still exists. However, it has become more scientific, which I'm with, but I'm just, the term is still weird. So for instance, they now use something called the five RUF or RUF, R-U-F, levels of the gifted. 2E children is another category in the assessment.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have to take into account Dabrowski's overexcitabilities.
Sounds riveting so far.
Oh, wow.
But yeah, it's still a thing. And I think one of the biggest reasons why it doesn't sit well with me is because in these times, we don't call out the fantastic people. Everyone's supposed to be, yeah. Everyone is gifted, you know?
Well, it's why we get participation trophies if we play sport, yes. And we shit at them, you know? It's amazing. It's like such a different world that we're inhabiting now, where merit is actually considered a bad thing in some circles. I think merit's still the best thing to measure anyone by.
Yeah, it should be celebrated. It's like having a talent or being a great sports person.
Mm. Mm.
Well, it was interesting yesterday on the Burning Platform. Gabriel told me something I didn't know about Brown University in America. That they don't grade you at Brown. The professor just says this person is a wonderful person, and you get your degree. So you might get like 40% for some really important subject, and they'll pass you. So Brown University somehow is getting passed. I don't know how I'd hire anyone who I didn't actually know the marks of.
Mm-mm.
Anyway, I mean, so what? So yeah. Listen to this. This is a cool email. Maybe I should save it for after 7 because it's already 7 o'clock. When we come back, we'll get into that and a bunch of other stuff. You can get hold of us on 0797482090. Let us know what you're up to this morning. It's Friday, which means the weekend, baby. If you've got any cool plans for the weekend that you feel like telling us to make us jealous, you can do that too. Why are you smirking, Sia? No cool plans?
I mean, I'll be bouncing off my walls alone.
Shame. How's your hand, by the way? Sia's hand.
That's a highlight. I'm getting the stitches out tomorrow.
Lucky you.
I was actually thinking about you the other day, and I felt like a mum because my thoughts were, I can't believe this has happened to Sia. It's so horrible.
Thanks, Leanne.
It is horrible.
I've had these weird and insignificant milestones to others, but they're big things to me. Like just yesterday, exactly, I'm now true. Able to curl my hand around anything I hold now. I'm like, I can curl it again. Yay. It lifts up my remote.
You've learned to be dexterous again.
Yes.
Mm. Well done, Sia. It's the small things that count. You're also gifted, Sia.
Yes, we're all gifted.
Everyone's gifted.
Special.
You're special. Yeah, all right, let's get cracking. It is 7:03, cliffcentral.com.
Cliffcentral.com.